Okay, Shalom Aleichem. We're going to start Bezos Hashem. Chavis Halvavis, Shah Bitochem. Shah Bitochem. We're going to start the first perek. We spent a lot of time on the psicha, the preface to the Shah. And now we're going to begin the first perek, Bezos Hashem. Shah Bitochem Perek Rishon. What page did we say it's on in English?
It's 364.
Page 364 in the Feldheim. Okay. So after we discussed, basically what we discussed in the psicha, in the preface to Shah Bitochem, is the importance of Bitochem and its benefits. It's a fundamental need in terms of your spiritual life. As we discussed, A, because it's an expected dynamic in your relationship with Hashem, right? That's number one. Hashem wants you to trust Him. He wants you to have internalized everything He's doing for you enough that you feel that you can trust Him. This is why it's important. I often say this. Sometimes people like to jump straight to Shah B'Tochen. It's probably the most... The Shah that gives you the most tools for life, practically. But you're missing a big, you're left with a big hole if you do it that way, because a major part of Bitochen is gaining the mentality of Bechina. A person who never saw Hashem involved in their life before and all of a sudden is told to trust Him, it's a little bit of a leap. But if you spend time getting used to the idea of really sensing His involvement in all kinds of areas in your life, really living that way, Bitochen becomes easier. Now, we learn Shara B'china at length. The way it works with these things is that, in a general way, unless you really make a focused project out of it, is that these things have an effect. It's not like we could say that we have become people of Bechina, that now we are completely and intensely sensing all that. It has an effect. It has an effect. So Bitochen is still a little bit of a leap. It's fine. All these things are going to be avoid. It's okay if all these things are challenges that we deal with, but we're certainly in better position to appreciate it after we've gotten used to the concept of Bechina, after the Chavis HaVav has trained us in, conditioned us to an extent to, yes, sense Hashem's involvement in our life and to see all the goodness He's doing for us. But back to the point. Number one, for a proper relationship with Hashem, part of what He expects of you is, I want you to understand everything I'm doing for you and therefore to trust Me. And that's reason number one why you need Bitochen. And we saw other reasons why you need it for your Ruchnias. You need it in order to let go of all kinds of different things, in order to do the right thing. Sometimes it'll be hard to do the right thing because you're worried about this, you're worried about that. And Bitochen helps you let go of those things. If you understand that it's the right thing to do, I just do it and let Hashem work it out. It enables you to not care about the people, the opinions of the people around you, etc. And as he discussed at the end, it also, if you really internalize Bitochen, it actually makes life more comfortable. Because you live with less anxiety and stress, etc. Okay, so now, what is Bitochen? What is Bitochen? That's what he says in the first perek, short little perek, just defining the concept at its essence. So, Achmahusa Bitochen, the essence of Bitochen is Menuchas Nefesh HaBoteach. It is a sense of security on the part of the person. Feeling secure, calm, at ease. She'elibay samuch al misha botachav. So as we're going to see throughout the Shah, in order to illustrate it, he's going to talk in terms of you relying on somebody else.
Oh, I don't another think person. We did the seven factors last time. Are we just skipping that?
No. That's the next parak.
Oh.
Next parak coming up. We'll probably start it today.
Oh.
Yeah. We don't want to skip that. That's the heart of the whole thing. Okay. That if you're relying on someone for something, you rely on him completely. You know, let's not get confused with the mushroom. That you are fully confident and secure with the knowledge that Hashem is taking care of whatever it is of you. That he will do what is best for you. Whatever it is you're trusting him. To the extent that he understands your needs and what will actually be good for you. So now, that's number one. What is bitachon? What are we striving for? We're striving for a sense of security. That's the goal. We want to reach a place where we just feel secure in the knowledge that we are in the best of hands. Now, another fundamental condition for bitachon, without which it's very hard to really trust, is that you can completely rely that this whatever you're relying on, that he will do what he said. Saying, if you really want to have full bitachon, you have to rely that this person, whoever it is that you're trusting, is also very, very, is a bal chesed. Meaning, if it's a matter of a deal, let's say you made a deal with somebody, that he's going to do this for you if you pay them X amount. So you always have to be concerned, since at the end of the day, it's business. So maybe he'll find clauses why he doesn't have to keep his deal, etc. If you really want to fully rely on it, it has to be because the one who you're trusting simply wants to do good. And he'll do it even if it's not part of the deal. And that's what we're going to see soon. Chavis Al-Bavis is going to be running a fine line as we move along. I'm already going to say just what he's alluding to. If you've been through Shabbat Bitachon, you might remember that there's a certain contradiction. On the one hand, the Chavis Al-Bavis says, Hashem will do what's good for you, even if you don't deserve it. You can trust his goodness, his midah of chesed, that he will do for you what's good for you, even if you don't deserve it. You don't have to worry about deserving it. On the other hand, the Chavis Al-Bavis is going to say later, if you want to trust Hashem, you have to justify that trust. You can't be doing averis and spiting him. You can't be spiting Hashem and expect that he'll do what's good for you. It has to make sense. And therefore, if you're acting loyally to Hashem, you can trust that he'll do what's good for you. That's a famous contradiction in the Shara Bitach. Right? That on the one hand, he says, Hashem does it unconditionally. You don't have to deserve it. On the other hand, he says, you have to justify it. You have to make it make sense.
Wait a minute. So, but isn't he, if you're not doing the mitzvahs, then there's consequences, but aren't they because it's better for you? In other words, he's not punishing you, right? I mean, it's not a matter of he's rewarding you and punishing. It's like you're not getting the consequences of doing the mitzvahs because it's not good for you if you're not doing it. Like it's a
right.
It's more of a consequence thing, but it's still for your own good, ultimately.
Good, correct? Good. So ultimately, right. So you're actually getting us on the track of the answer that we'll be discussing as we go through the Shara. But the truth is that there are really a number of levels here. It's true. Hashem is always interested in your good. And if you sin, Hashem is interested in helping you get back, and he will provide you with the opportunities and the means, etc. But there will also be consequences, right? Now, at the same time, we say that let's say a person is doing sins, right? He's doing sins, and therefore Hashem says, okay, I have to remind him. So he brings upon him some tzara, okay? He gets arrested. Hashem would like him to think that maybe the reason I got arrested is because I'm doing an avera. I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Maybe I should be a little more honest. I was just arrested for embezzling or whatever it is. No, this person says, no, I'm a Baal Bitach. I am a high-level ganav, And I have bitachon. If I was arrested, that means that this is what Hashem decided is good for me. It's got nothing to do with my averus. And therefore, I continue with my averus with full bitachon that Hashem is doing whatever is good for me. And if I was arrested now, I say that I'm a kabel. I accept Hashem's judgment with love. And I, on the contrary, because I know that he's out for my good, it doesn't occur to me that maybe it's because of something wrong I did. Hashem's love is unconditional. And therefore, I can continue robbing, stealing, cheating. I can continue getting in trouble in the full knowledge that that's what's good for me. And Hashem is doing it out of love. Obviously, we understand that that's ridiculous. But what will we say? We'll say that it's true that it's good for you. It's good for you to get arrested. You know the story? There was a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was once being driven somewhere, and the driver was speeding. He was going well beyond the speed limit. And he was pulled over. He was pulled over, and he got a nice fine. So he turned to Rav Moshe and he says, I was doing a mitzvah. I was driving the Gadol Hador to somewhere, whatever, wherever it is that Rav Moshe was going, it was very important. And he said, doesn't it say Shluchei Mitzvah Inu Nizokim? That people are engaged in mitzvah won't be harmed? So Rav Moshe said to him, that's right. Hashem made the policeman catch you before you could hurt yourself. Right? So the idea here is, sure, this is good for you now, but this didn't have to be what's good for you. Right? If you want to know that this is the best possible thing for you, you have to know that you are doing your best in your service of Hashem. If you are failing here, failing there, right? Yeah, Hashem is bringing for you what's good for you, but this didn't have to be the best thing for you. This didn't have to be the best thing for you. It could have been better things that are best for you. But also, a part of the understanding is that, you know what? We'll leave it at that for now, and we're going to develop it more as we go along. So the point being that the better we perform, the more we can simply trust that this is the best thing that's best for me. Right? Of the different possible things that could be good for me, this is the best option. But whatever the case is, as long as you are conscientiously serving Hashem and you're trying, you can trust that, yes, things are the best they ought to be. Okay, yeah, we'll leave it a little open-ended now because all these things are going to be developed in full detail as we go along. What we're saying, what is the gist? What's the essence of this parak? Just understand what is the goal. The goal of bitachon is to reach a place where we feel fully calm and secure in Hashem's conduct of your life. I just got this message here about an untrusted server or something. I don't know. I guess that's it. They ask me if I want to trust or not trust. I'll trust Hashem, but I won't trust untrusted servers. Okay. Okay. So now we move on to the second parak. This is a very, very fundamental parak. I might say that if you're only going to learn one parak of Shara B'Tochen, this is the one to learn. Now, the Chavis HaVavis is taking a little bit of an intricate route here. And I'm going to, just for our purposes, I'm going to keep it a little simpler than he's doing. What he's going to do is, he's going to say, let's look around and see if you really want to trust somebody. Let's say you have some issue that has to be taken care of. Let's say, Khalila, a person is ill, and he knows somebody who's very capable, and the other person says, you need to find the right doctor and get to the right hospital. Trust me, I'm going to take care of it. Okay, so the Chavis HaVavis is going to analyze now, when you need to trust somebody else to get something done for you, when you need to trust somebody else to care for you, what needs to be in place in order for me to trust you? Right? If you just, again, you're in a needy situation and some stranger passes by out the window, yells in, hey, what's the problem? And you say, well, person says, I'm ill. And he says, oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll be in touch. And he continues walking. Not going to have any trust at all. You shouldn't, right? Don't say, okay, Baruch Hashem. Hashem sent me the answer to my problem. No. There have to be certain things in place in order for you to trust the person. The Chavis HaVavis first is going to analyze what needs to be in place in order for you to trust a person. So let's start with, let's use this as the example. Let's say, Khalil, a person is ill. He doesn't know his way around. He doesn't know how to research. He doesn't know how to put things together. And somebody else is telling him, let me take care of it. So what has to be in place in order for me to rely on that person? So he says there are seven things that have to be in place in order for you to have ultimate trust in this person. Achas mehen, number one is, harachamim v'achemlo v'ahava. You have to know that this person loves you and cares for you. Let's say you know that somebody is very capable. He really knows all the people involved. But he doesn't care about you at all. Doesn't know you, doesn't care about you at all. So yeah, he has all the ability, but I don't have reason to think that he's really going to put in efforts to take care of me. When I know that this person really cares for me, really loves me, I can trust that, yeah, he'll take care of me properly. Shane is, you know, I'm not going to read through each of them now because I want to get through all 7 points now, even if we don't see every word. Hashem is, number one is, hey, now I know that the person really loves me. That's not really enough. Because what if the person is extremely busy with a lot of people that he loves? Right? So he loves me. He really wants to take care of it, but he might forget about it for 3 weeks. So she also, you have to know that besides how much he loves you, Sheinenu misali mimenu v'lo misatzel b'cheftzoi. He never is distracted from you. And he is never going to let go of your case. He loves you, and he's taking this on as his sole focus now until he gets the job done. Because once you have these two things together, so you seem to have everything you need. He loves you. He's completely focused. He's not going to be distracted. You have everything in place? No. Let's say this guy loves you. He's going to make complete focus. But this person is a wimp. And we're talking about something that really needs pushing, moving and pushing, right? So this guy is going to come to the government office and they're going to tell him, sorry, this person doesn't qualify. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Right? So that won't do. He loves you. He's focused on you. He's going to come back and he's going to sit and cry with you. But he can't get the job done because simply because he's not strong enough. So the next thing you need to know is this person is powerful. Nobody can stop him. If this person goes in to the government office or to the doctor's office, to whatever it is, he's going to come out with it. Ain't no one going to get in his way. He's powerful. Whatever he wants to do, he will get done. Nobody can stop him. I have these three. Is that all you need? Right? Person loves you. He's going to be solely focused on you. And he can get done whatever he wants. He's all powerful. Still not enough. All of these is another condition. That he should know. He should have a good knowledge of what you need. Meaning this person, I said before, he cares you. He's making this his sole project. He can get whatever he wants done. But does he really know the field? Does he says he's going to take care of getting you to the best doctor. Does he have the knowledge to know how to research that? Or is he going to end up getting you to some beginner who doesn't know what he's doing? And also more than that, does he really understand your particular needs? He might have his ideas of what would be good in this situation, but if he doesn't really have a good understanding of you and your needs and your situation, it still won't help. So that's number four. So what did we say? He loves you. He's never distracted from you. He's solely focused on you, exclusively focused on you. He's all powerful. No one can stop him. And he has a perfect hand on exactly what your needs are and what's good for you, even better than you. Now, this is already pretty impressive if you have somebody on your case who has all these four conditions. But, you know, once we move on to the fifth, we're already leaving the realm of human ability.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to go, this is what I said before, I want to keep it a little simpler and go straight for the nimshal. Let's talk in terms of Hashem directly. Let's talk in terms of Hashem directly. And what he's doing here now is basically breaking down bitachon. This is so powerful, what the Chabad Soloveitchik is doing here. He's breaking down bitachon. Because what he's doing, really what he's doing is, he's saying, bitachon doesn't require more than what you already know. I'm going to point out different things about Hashem that you already know, just you didn't think about all of them at once. If you really focus on all these things at once, and your conviction and all these little pieces of knowledge is strong, bitachon becomes easy. Almost easy. But it really, this really gets you many miles ahead. This, to a large extent, for us people on our level, really focusing on these seven gets you a lot closer than you might have realized and you might have considered realistic. So let's think about that. Do you know that Hashem loves you? You know he loves you intensely. We all know that theoretically, but you know what? It might be a good idea to spend a little time saying, no, not just that I know he loves me, he really does love me. Not just that, that's one of the things we say about Hashem. Focus intensely on the fact that he really loves you intensely and cares about you intensely. And if you're going through something, kiveyachol, it hurts him. Think about that. That's number one. Number two to think about Hashem is that he is always focused on you. Never, ever distracted. So you think about how much he loves you. And his exclusive, constant, intense focus on you. Okay? Number three. Hashem, no one can stop him, right? He is all-powerful, all-capable. If he wants to get you something, he will get it. And number four, that he understands your needs best. Not only that, he understands your needs much better than you do. So this, if we're really thinking, all these things are things that we all know. Right? None of these things were, oh, wow, that I never heard that about Hashem before. It's just that sometimes we need to take a step back and really focus on all these things and put them all together, right? Number five. Sheyeh misyached b'anhogas ha-beteachol. So again, I'm not even going to bother with the mashal here. I want to cover some of this again. Like I said, it's taking us a little bit through more of a little bit of an intricate route. I want to keep it simple for our purposes. Focus on the fact that Hashem, he is in exclusive control of he's in control, he conducts your life. That he is holding in his hand your entire life from the moment you were conceived, the truth is even well before that, until the very end. When is the very end? That's not 120. That's a very early stage in the whole story. The very end, we're talking about much later than that. Hashem, for him, it's not like Hashem says, okay, let's do something now and then we'll see how it develops. Hashem has right in front of him on the table, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now in your life. And when he's doing anything for you, he's taking all that into account. He's on top of all that. And he is the only one on top of that. He's planning it. There's no curveballs for Hashem. Nothing unexpected comes up. He is planning it from when you began, which was really pretty much at creation. Okay? And all the way to the end, Hashem is laying out your life exactly. And number six, Shia Inyan Abiteach Kulay Masu Biyadu. That all of your affairs are exclusively in his hands. Meaning, we said before that he's all-powerful. So let's say you are being cared for by an all-powerful person. That doesn't mean that there can't be some sort of hitch, that someone can't get in a dart from the side, right? Someone might be able to get in a foot, get in a finger, right? He's all-powerful, but things could go wrong. Something out of his control can happen. He might do a good job afterwards contending with it. Or the other direction, he's all powerful, but I would like to know that there's also somebody else who can help just in case. Let's say the all powerful person comes down with pneumonia and he's out of commission. I would like to know if there's somebody else who can also help. Or if I have some kind of falling out with him, there's someone else who can step in. So number six is to understand that with Hashem, nobody else can get in, for not for good and not for bad. If someone else does, that means that Hashem designed that, manipulated that. That's part of my plan for you with my love and with my control and with my understanding of exactly what's good for you. I decided, now let me get this, let this person get that finger into the pie. And number seven, this is what we referred to earlier. That you can rely, you can trust that he will want to continue doing good for you, even if you're undeserving. That he epitomizes generosity and chesed. Whether you're deserving or not, and his generosity and kindliness will be unwavering. So, like we said before, we haven't learned anything new about Hashem here. But the Chavis Halvavis, this is, I shouldn't use the words, this is the greatness of the Chavis Halvavis, because he's so high above us. But I'm saying, in terms of us, right? This is so powerful, where he just tells us, basically telling us, look, let me just point out a few things that you already know. And if you really focus on all these things and try to bring them all together, then it becomes so much easier. And here I'm not talking about a high madriga. I'm talking about for people on our level, it becomes so much easier to face a challenge with more calm. I'm not saying with absolute calm, but I'm saying with more calm, with more of a sense of security. I might not know where this is going, but I do know that it's in much better hands than I could ever hope for. And then if it were completely in my hands, because like we said before, he knows much better than me what's good for me. I have a very limited idea of what's good for me. Because like we said, first of all, I'm only taking into account the here and now. I don't know what's coming in 10 years from now. Hashem is busy setting things up already now for events that are going to happen in 10 years. And it might seem inconvenient or even painful now, but you know what? This is what's needed for 10 years. Besides that, I have no idea about my neshama and its health and its state, right? I am aware of a very, very, very little part of me. A tiny part of me is all I'm aware of. And I put all my energies and focus into caring for that little part of me that I'm aware of. Hashem is busy caring for you on so many more levels. And you know what? True, a doctor might do something. I told you, I really don't like needles in my arms. But the doctor might often make the cheshbon of, yeah, I'm going to do something that's going to hurt you over here. I'm going to do something that's going to hurt you over here. You know why? Because it's going to do so much more for your whole body. And it's going to do so much more for the quality of life of the coming years that, yeah, I'm going to put you through something painful here. And like I said before, as much as I don't like it, I do submit myself to that doctor. I tell him, go for it, right? So this is the idea. Hashem might do something that's painful in the here and now in one very specific sense, but it's mamish like that. He's taking into account so much more than we could possibly be on top of. And on the contrary, we say, it's such a relief to know that not only is my here and now being taken care of, but the 50 years from now and the 300 years from now is also being cared for by Hashem. So now, he goes on and basically makes the point that I already preempted. If we really think about these seven conditions, you can't have these seven conditions with a person. Like we said, one, you can have. Two, three already, two is already a stretch. Three is more of a stretch. Four, you could still conceive, but it's already stretching into the limit. With five, you've already transcended earth. But these are all present by Hashem. He cares, he loves his people. He cares for them, compassion for them. I'm reading like the beginning of each line. Don't get thrown by the skipping here. And he never is distracted. Right? Lo yonam v'lo yishan shem Yisrael. 24 hours, 24, 7, 30, 365, etc. So he loves you intensely. He's always intensely focused on you. Vishu chacham lo yinutzach. He is all wise, meaning he knows infinitely better than you what's good for you. And no one can stop him. Whatever he decides is good for you, he will get done. Again, skipping a little bit. He is in exclusive control of your life from the very beginning stages all the way until the end. He's the one who decided that you should have not just one working eye, but two, because that's good for you. He's the one who decided that your bones should be hard. And he went about making them hard. You have to take this personally. Here we're going back to where Shara B'china plays into Shara B'tochen. Right? You have to think about this a little bit. We talk about taking things personally, right? You have not just one working eye, but two. Think of it in these terms. There are people who don't. Right? Now, when you were standing in line, Hashem said, we're going to give one and another one, two working eyes. Take it personally.
I know it's always said, like, you know, we'll just go to a hospital and you see all these diseases on the wall and thank God you don't have any of them, okay? But I don't know, that never does anything for me. What about the person who stands in line and doesn't get two eyes?
Okay.
I mean, and all those people that have all those terrible diseases, are they supposed to think Hashem doesn't love them? I mean,
they're asking a sensitive question here. The question is, we're talking about the blessings that you see, that not everybody has them, and you do. So the question here is, and this is really a question that is saying Hibo Mitbakesh Me'ilav, like it's kind of self-question, but however you say that. Well, 1 minute, how am I supposed to, I look at the person who has the issue, right? And then I say, wow, look at Hashem's kindness that I don't, but how do I relate to him? So let's answer that question on two levels. First of all, let's start and say that you do have to start from the egocentric place, meaning we can't jump to wonder about Hashem's justice you can only start asking questions after you really see all the kindness that Hashem did for you. You know, this might be easier to grasp if we start from the other direction. Let's start from the other direction. The person who Chalila has that other illness, he is capable, and the Silas Yisharim talks about this, of learning Shara B'china and appreciating, A, all the blessings that he has. And this particular condition is his challenge in life. But he's capable of appreciating all the things he has. And number two, if you're talking about a person who's taki, this is often inspiring. When you meet the person who really rises to the challenge in the right way, meaning in the ideal world, if we were all living chayvus al vavus, then you could go to that hospital and step into one of the rooms, one of the people has one of those conditions, sit down to the person and tell me how Shara B'china works for you. And you would hear a very inspiring story of the person who is chalila suffering, just lost two legs, okay? And you would hear how suddenly now he became that much more conscious of all the other kindness in his life. Now, again, I'm saying things that are easy to say. I'm acknowledging this. But as we keep saying, we're learning. The purpose of learning Chavis Al Vavis is to say the easy things to say when they're easy to say them. That's part of what we're supposed to do. You can't just ignore everything until you hit the challenge. But whatever the case is, if you're talking about, and we've all met people like this, right? You have to sit down with this person and you would hear how much insight in bracha his condition brought him. First of all, in terms of becoming aware of all the other chesed in his life, sometimes a person says, I had to go through this in order to really start enjoying all the chesed that I have in my life. Sometimes you might hear that this condition, dafka, created a closeness in the family that never existed before him. You might hear about clarity in the emunah that he reached, where the person really feels like, by now, I really feel like this was a bracha in my life. Now, of course, we're talking about very, very high levels, and none of us should be challenged with these things. None of us should be challenged with these things. But the point that I'm making is that you have to take your package of kindness, of chasodim, and challenges, deal with the challenges correctly, rise to those challenges, and really appreciate those chasodim. Every person has a combination of both. Every person has a combination of both. And if we'll all just be busy saying, how can I enjoy this kindness when somebody else doesn't have it? And the other person, I once, you know what, I'll give you an example of, I have a certain joint condition, which sometimes gets painful. Baruch Hashem, I don't terribly mind that kind of physical pain. They can ask me, what about the needle in your arm? Okay. But I don't terribly mind that kind of physical pain. And say them. Now, I met somebody else who had a challenge that I would really, really not want to have. I just think I wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't want to get too specific. But a very different challenge in a very different realm. And I remember we once started talking, and I told him that I have this joint condition. So he was so pained that he felt so bad for me. That felt good. But it just hit me how, really, I'm okay with this, but Baruch Hashem, that I don't have the challenge. I didn't say this. I'm so relieved I don't have the challenge you have. He's the type of personality that lives with that challenge in a relaxed kind of way. Right? So everybody has their package of chesed and challenges, sometimes more, sometimes less, etc. But you know what? You have to say Hashem has his cheshbon with each person. And that person has things in his life that I don't have, good, bad, etc. We have to be capable, each of us, of, yes, we look around, we contrast, in order to realize what kind of kindnesses I have. If there was no contrast, we would often remain oblivious to it. So we should, yes, we look around, don't articulate it too much. You articulate it when you're learning Chavis Avos. And you know what? You should say it to your family also, right? But yes, it might sound insensitive, but if we're thinking in terms of the whole big picture, I don't have a right to ignore the kindness that I have or to undermine it, to downplay it, because somebody else doesn't. Before being compassionate on the other person, first note your blessings, and your first and foremost moral obligation is Yarkas HaTov Hashem. Why didn't he give it to the other person? Why did he give it to you? Right? He said, it's a good question. I don't understand why Hashem gave it to me. Be even more grateful.
It's a matter of equating love with giving. He loves me so much, he gave me two eyes. He doesn't love them because he didn't give them two eyes.
He gave them things.
So that's the point. Right, exactly. So that's the point. He gave them other things. Hashem's love. You know, we have to always come back to the point that this full picture is applicable to everybody. Meaning, for that person, Hashem's love was in the challenge that he gave him. But you know what? We can only really learn to see Hashem's love in the challenges once we've learned to really experience Hashem's love and the things that are straightforward chasadim with no need for interpretation. Each person has those chasadim in his life. Everyone has those chasadim in his life. So we want to use that to say, here's where I feel Hashem's love. But you know what? If I give one child a toy car and I give another child a special candy, they're each experiencing my love in different ways. So one with the candy will come along and say, Dad, you show love with cars. I didn't get any of your love. Can't say that, right? You also can't say, Dad, I'm experiencing your love through the candy. My brother never experienced that. You don't love him as much? Well, I expressed my love to him through the toy car that I gave him. The Mesiyas Yisharim really spells out this point. Every person, whatever situation in life they're in, has plenty of means of experiencing Hashem's love. Right? And first, the first thing we have to do is feel that. Take that to be able to relate to our challenges. But first, feel that. And the truth is that also, yes, we should definitely be noisei ba'oil. Try to feel other people's pain. But if we're letting that turn into undermining the own brachas, our own brachas, then we are allowing a good thing to take us too far. A good midah to take us too far. Because we have to remember, we still have to be mentioned toward Hashem also. Right? And you can't just come and say, my bracha means nothing if I know that somebody else doesn't have that bracha. We can't say that. At the end of the day, if Hashem would come and say, all right, so do you want me to equal it all out? No. I want to keep my brachas, right? Oh, so you do appreciate the bracha. If you do appreciate the bracha, then really appreciate it. So this is the point. We have to be honest with ourselves. we appreciate the bracha, even though the other person doesn't have it, then let's actively appreciate it. Let's sense Hashem's love in it. And let's trust that, yes, the other person has his means of experiencing Hashem's love, and he might have other brachas that I don't have. So, okay. And we continue on the list. Hashem is in exclusive control of your life from the beginning until the end. Nobody else has the ability of benefiting you or hurting you unless Hashem factors that in as part of his plan for you. And okay, that was only six. I lost one here in the paragraph. The unconditional, what's that?
Generosity.
Oh, the unconditional generosity. Oh, right. Right, that his generosity and chesed is all encompassing.
The first one and the last one. Both of them, one is like, they're both balei chesed.
Oh, okay. What's interesting in the first and the last? Number one is that he loves you and cares for you. And the last one is that his chesed is never ending. So the difference is, the first one is understanding the first of all, it's the personal angle. That Hashem loves me personally, cares for me intensely. Not just that he is a Baal Chayaz the Mid of Chesed. It's very personal. It's a very personal track with you. That's number one. But that still does not preclude the possibility of Hashem saying that right now you don't necessarily deserve it. Number seven is coming and covering that. Number seven is coming and saying it'll be unconditional. We'll continue to do that chesed unconditionally. Now, as we said, that really requires more discussion, but those are the two different points, right? This is that the non-ending unconditional aspect of it, while number one is the etzem love and the personal angle of it. Okay, we'll end here for this week. If there are any questions, they're welcome.
Beautiful, thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.